I feel that God has given me a message to bring to you. I have a doctrine that I believe He wants me to preach today and tomorrow and so much the more. I'd like to turn to Acts, the first chapter. Jesus had been assembled with His disciples. He had been with them for 40 days. And now they were together on Mount Olive. Well, I'm not sure if that's where they were, but they were outside of Jerusalem there, and Jesus was speaking to them. In verse 8, He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." So it tells how they returned, and they were met together in the upper room with the disciples. There were about 120 of them. Mary, Jesus' mother, and all the 12, the 11. They were led of God to choose the 12th disciple to replace Judas, who had denied Jesus and then taken his own life. And then we have the chapter 2, which gives us the story of the Holy Spirit's kingdom coming to the disciples in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit coming down and filling them, and them being able to testify and preach in all 17 languages of the people that were gathered around. And they went out preaching, and every person could hear them in their language. The scene is very dramatic. There was a lot going on here. But I want to focus on what the angel said to the men as they stood looking up. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." I want to preach to us this morning that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It was promised, foretold, that He would come. Just as He went up into heaven, He was going to come. So this tells us what it's going to look like. Jesus is going to come in the clouds. I'd like to read some of Jesus' own words in Matthew. Chapter 24, verse 30, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So he's going to come in the clouds of heaven. In this chapter, the disciples had asked Jesus, well, in other chapters too in the scriptures, but in Matthew's gospel, the disciples had asked Jesus about the coming of the Lord and also the end of the Jewish nation and the destruction of Jerusalem. And Jesus answered these things kind of all together. Some of the things that happened at the destruction or before the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the Jewish state, some of those same things were signs of Jesus' second coming. And it's easy to kind of mix it all up, but Jesus said that the Son of Man shall come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In verse 42, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." We see in chapter 25 that when you see these signs of him coming in the clouds, that is not the time to get ready. We need to be ready. He would have watched. Be also ready. We need to, now is the accepted time, the day of salvation. It's right now, not when you see the Son of Man coming. There's not going to be time to get ready at that day and that hour. We don't know what day or hour it will be. It could be in the middle of the night, or if it's in the middle of the night over in Africa or in the other part of the world, it's the middle of the day here. So it's going to be the middle of the night for somebody, but we don't know. Middle of the night, middle of the day. Remember the children's song, "Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening." So keep your heart in tune. I want to read just a little bit more, several scriptures about his coming, just to give us the teaching, what it's going to be like, how we're going to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." So it's going to be a time of great noise. Jesus' coming is going to be accompanied with noise. He's going to shout. It's the shout of triumph. It's a shout of him returning for his church. It's the shout of him, of the victory over Satan. He'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Jesus is coming. This is a teaching that he gave himself, and the apostles reiterated it all along the way. They preached it, they told it, they taught it, and God wants us to teach it too. And it's been a long time since he promised it. And what's happened is that people have grown tired of hearing it and it not happening. And they've done like in what is it, 1 Peter 3 or 2 Peter 3, they have said it's just not going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It's been so long. Where is the promise of His coming? And even those who teach that Jesus is coming, it's easy for us to doubt it, and it's easier for us to get tired of telling it and just to quit saying it. But I believe the Lord has given me a burden the last few weeks and months. I need to teach it. I need to tell it. Jesus is coming, and He's not too far away, but He is coming. He's still coming, and we want to be ready. We want to be ready. Stay ready to meet Him. Don't wait till His coming to try to get ready. Okay, we were speaking from 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who have died and are in the graves will rise to meet Him. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, what a scene. I've heard this scripture many times at a graveside. I've heard my dad read this scripture. The flaps of the cemetery tent whipping in the wind. The mourners around the casket. The flowers laid out. And these words, that all goes together in my mind. The Lord Himself. We begin to just involuntarily, we just begin to look up and think about this scene. They which are dead in Christ, they'll rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We read in 1 Corinthians, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and we and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, be watchful, be faithful. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to read one more from Revelations chapter 1. Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I want to get one in Psalms 96, I believe. It says, let the field be joyful, verse 12, and all that is therein, then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. God's creation is waiting for the time of His coming. And God's creation is going to rejoice. Let the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. He's coming. Saints, he's coming. The trees of the wood are going to rejoice. For he cometh to judge the earth. That's another thing about this time of his coming. It is the time of judgment. That's why he said, be also ready for... Oh, there's several scriptures that says how that in a time when you think not, a time totally unexpected, but we can live ready and expecting. Let's turn again to 2 Peter, where I think I mentioned about it a while ago, how that people were saying, where is the promise of his coming? Second Peter 3 and verse 10, well, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. It'll be a day of noise. The trumpet, the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the sound of creation changing, melting, imploding, everything passing away. The which it will come is a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. No wonder the Lord wants us to preach it and to tell it. It is a great day. It is the day of the Lord. It will come, the scripture says. This is a day of great noise. It is a day of judgment. It is the day of mourning and wailing of those who are not ready. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 5. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now there is one way that we could be overtaken and in the dark about it, and that is... if we, like the people in Noah's time, and the scripture says there in Matthew 24, where they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, they were planting, building, they were buying. And so Jesus warned against that. It's not that you shouldn't eat or drink. It's not that you shouldn't build or buy a house or plant. It's not that we shouldn't do all those things. But if we do those things to such an extent that it gets our minds off of being ready, if it distracts us to the point where we don't anticipate, we don't think about God's coming, Jesus coming, we're distracted and our minds are on this world, our affections are on this world, we're not being ready. We're not keeping a watch. If these earthly things do that, then we'll be in the dark. But he told the Thessalonians, he said, for you're not in the dark. that that day should overtake you as a thief. We want to be in the light, walking in the light. Our hearts being cleansed daily by His blood, by obedience to His word, by watching and by praying, that it won't overtake us as a thief in the night. Another scripture that comes to my mind, it says, to them who love His appearing. I can't remember where that one is. All right. Second Timothy 4 and verse 8, where Paul said to Timothy, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I've fought a good fight. That's where we should be when this day comes. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. If we love His appearing, if we look for and haste unto the coming of the day of God, if we are waiting and watching, it won't be as a thief in the night. Lord, help us. Jesus' coming was prophesied by Enoch, who walked with God 300 years. God surely imparted to him many revelations of the future, and one of them was this, Jude verse 14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. It says, but beloved, verse 17, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. In verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's how we can be ready and watchful and meet Him in the air. If we are keeping ourselves in the love of God, loving God, anticipating His coming, praying and earnestly desiring it. My advice to us today, this morning, is to think about the coming of the Lord. My dad, I remember he said, take the last day and make it your constant companion. It's not that we're being morbid, but we're being real. Jesus is coming, and He is coming to all. And some people are going to wail, and some are going to rejoice. But Jesus is coming. It's not going to be a secret. Every eye will see Him, and every knee will bow. And even those people who pierced Him, who crucified Him, they're going to see it. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let us be ready. Let us tell, as we sang in the song a while ago, go tell the world that Jesus is coming. Let's not let it be a forgotten message, but let us tell others Jesus is coming. He's coming again. Well, I don't have very many scriptures, but every once in a while I'll just be reading, and there it will be. It will be a reminder from the scripture that He is coming again and that the day of judgment is near. We've been reading Romans chapter 14, I believe it is, about the day of judgment. We shall all stand, verse 10. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Well, we know this now. Let's be ready and give account of ourselves now and live from this time on with the thought, what I'm doing, the words that I'm speaking, right now I'm going to have to give account before God. We'll stand before the judgment seat of God. Jesus gave us assurance and proof that this is going to happen when he raised from the dead. Is Jesus still in the grave today? No, he's risen from the dead, and that is proof that this day of judgment is going to happen. It's going to be just as he said it would be. Well, I'm going to leave this with you. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? I remember when I was a little girl, this message was preached. I heard it often. My dad would preach it. The evangelist would preach it. Sometimes it would just be in my mind. I'd wake up thinking about it. Go to sleep thinking about it. Will I wake up in the morning? I'll have to say I used to think about it more than I do now. I need to think about it more. I need to love his appearing, earnestly desire his appearing, and pray for it. Lord, even so, Lord Jesus, come. It'll be a day of great joy for his people. Those who meet together in the air with him, that's going to be a day of great joy for us. One thing that I remember reading is, well, let's go back to 1 John. First John chapter 2 and verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Oh, yes, Lord. 1 John 4 and 17, 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." This day is coming. Jesus is coming. And he's given us this love. And in verse 18 it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." God can make us perfect in love where we think about his coming. We cannot fear. We can have confidence. Also, this thought is, let's see, the one, oh, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God," 3 and 2, "and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear," this is what gives us such great joy, "we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." This hope of seeing him, this hope of seeing him as he is, that does something for us. It works in us. It purifies us. And we endeavor to walk in His light and be pure and keep in the love of God so that we can meet Him in the air without fear. We can see Him as He is. Oh, what a day of joy to those who are ready, to those who love His appearing. I believe there's a song in our book that talks about it. I read it just the other night. His loved His own. That's one of the verses in that song. He comes, He comes. I'd like to sing that song.